leaders. Britain's economy. Spurious George. The Chancellor is poised to put forward a long-term plan for Britain about the wrong thing.
The British government's great boast is its resolve. Fainter hearts might have trembled before the political law that you cannot cut your way to re-election, but the Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition, forged in the dark days following the financial crisis, formed a plan for the economy and stood its ground. Its reward has been to see unemployment tumble and Britain grow faster than any other big rich country in 2014. It is a rousing refrain, and when George Osborne, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, gives the budget speech on March 18th, less than 2 months before a general election that will revolve around the economy, he is sure to utter the words long-term economic plan and to affirm his iron commitment to a fiscal surplus for Britain by 2018-19. The shabby truth, however, is that the success of Mr. Osborne stems from the goals he has abandoned rather than the guns he has stuck to. And next week, unless his budget plans are more apt, Britain risks paying a heavy price. The government has done sensible things with Mr. Osborne as Chancellor, not least cutting corporation tax, raising the income tax threshold, and pinching Mark Carney from Canada for the Bank of England. But it has been at its best when it has been at its least consistent in three main areas. The first is fiscal policy. 5 years ago, the Conservatives pledged to eliminate almost all of Britain's structural deficit, then estimated at 8.7% of GDP by the end of their term. They now lead a coalition government that is only halfway there. Borrowing this year will probably be about 5% of GDP, or £90 billion, that's $135 billion, £55 billion more than first planned. After 2 years of weak growth because of austerity and a European slump, the Chancellor pushed back his deadline for closing the deficit, so much for what was then known as Plan A. That change was welcome and necessary. Sticking to the plan would have meant tax rises or bigger cuts to public spending or a combination of the two. It would probably have pitched the economy back into recession and might have wrecked public services. As it is, the state has coped with deep but steady cuts. Crime is down and the sky has not fallen on local government or the National Health Service. A second change, of course, was equally welcome. After coming to power in 2010, the coalition first stuck to the previous Labour government's plans to slash capital budgets. Public investment, always the easiest bill to cut quickly, fell by 35% in 2 years. That was foolish. Spending on infrastructure is essential to long-term growth and is chronically low in Britain. Mr. Osborne tempered the cuts in infrastructure spending starting in 2011. Again, his change of heart was good. The biggest and best departure from the blueprint is also the most embarrassing. Before he became Prime Minister, David Cameron pledged to reduce annual net migration to the tens of thousands. The coalition government has never abandoned that goal. Yet at the last count, net migration stood at a UKIP maddening 298,000 and rising. Because they are young, healthy, hard-working and enterprising, immigrants have boosted growth and swelled the public purse. A big fall in net migration would have weighed on the economy. GDP has risen by 7.8% over this parliament. GDP per person is up by only 4.2%. You might think that the government's vacillations are ancient history, or that doing the right thing is more important than saying it, but plans focus the mind. And in the upcoming budget, Mr. Osborne risks focusing minds on the wrong issue. Britain's biggest problem today is not the deficit, but stagnant productivity growth that leaves output per hour 2% below its peak in 2008. The country's economic future depends far more on boosting how much Britons produce at work than how quickly the deficit is cut. Mr. Osborne surely knows that and may secretly plan to shift priorities later. But he is making good policy less likely. U-turns are embarrassing, so plans tend to last for too long. By preparing for deficit cutting and neglecting productivity, government departments are dissipating their efforts. Mr. Osborne did well to change course before. The right thing today is to make a plan for productivity and stick to it.